Father God, we just want to come before you. You ask for willing hearts, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for Enid and Jeff and Ryan and each one that helps bring us into worship, Lord. Thank you for their time and their commitment. For our Sunday school teachers, Lord, thank you for their commitment, for their love for the children. Lord, I just pray that you would be here right now. I thank you that you are. I pray that you would speak through me, Lord. That there's a nugget for each one here, Lord. And not my will, but your will would be done. We ask this in Jesus' name. And Lord, I want to thank you and praise you for Harriet being here today, Lord. For Gloria Lord, just for how you minister into each of our lives. For Paula, Lord. For the healing touch in her life, Lord. Thank you. We give you all praise, for you alone are worthy. It's only your work at the cross, Lord, that we have what we have in you. So we give you praise. Have your way, I pray. Amen. I want to start with Job 7:6. Who wants to read that? Job 7:6. Someone have it? Okay, I have it. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope. You want to play that, Ryan? I just want you to notice this machine is drawing thread from all over. And it's going at lightning speed. And it says that my days are swifter than that. Wow. And I know that this is modern technology, but the weaver's beam must have been pretty impressive in Job's time. And I can relate to this now because all I got, that's fast. When I was a boy, you know, days seemed long. A week seemed like forever. And a school year, well, that seemed like an eternity. Is it ever going to end? Not soon enough. But now, a day isn't long enough. Yep. And a week is like a day. Mm-hmm. And a year has gone so quickly, I don't know how or where it went. Life is definitely moving like that weaver's beam, fast. For an illustration for the kids, I brought the dandelion in. For in all its glory, how beautiful it is. And yet in a few short days, it turns gray. And if it wasn't in the church, I'd blow it to it doesn't exist anymore. But life is like that. One moment, we're alive and vibrant, full of life. And then we're gray and old. And then our life is over. We meet our Maker. So through my teens, and probably until I was about 50, I had a plaque on my dresser that said, Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. You know, I read that most every day because it was right there in front of me. Some days I pondered on it. Some days I would remember it as it pierced my heart. Probably because I wasn't doing right things. I wanted to live for Christ from a young age, but I struggled with much in my walk with the Lord. As a teen with many insecurities, trying to fit in, I allowed influences to lead me down wrong paths. Looking back, the regrets that I have, and I thank the Lord that He takes the guilt from us. But I lost my testimony to my friends. I didn't really want to do a lot of the things that I did, but I asked myself, what will it hurt? I'm strong enough in the Lord. I was asked to go to a rock concert with my friends. I said, well, I'm strong enough. It won't influence me. But you know, while I was there, a friend from school came up to me. Said with disappointment in his voice, what in the world are you doing here? Aren't you a Christian? You're the last person I would expect to see here. You know, in that moment, my testimony was shattered to that person. It is that easy to turn away from the will of the Lord for our own desires. We let things and choices, attitude, they all plague my mind. But you know, God was faithful through all of that. All those things have helped mold me into the man that I am. And I'm glad He's not finished. You know, one of the most important things that the Lord did for me was He brought Lori to me. Proverbs 18:22 says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. You know, I praise the Lord every day, for Lori has been a great thing in my life. She helped me focus on the things that were important. She was the one that kept our direction towards the Lord. Together, we chose to put Christ in the center of our lives, in the center of our marriage, and in the center of our family. We claim Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want us to notice the beginning of that verse, choose you this day whom you will serve. It's pretty easy to say, isn't it? I will choose the Lord. I will serve the Lord every day. But it's definitely another thing to do. So how do we live and grow in Christ? Could it be by truly putting Christ first? May I ask you this question? Do we believe God's word to be true? Do we believe it to be true from Genesis to Revelation? Do we really believe that it is the spoken word from God to men of God, every word guided by the hand of God? If so, if yes, then this book, the Holy Bible, is God speaking to us. It's God's blueprint. It's His map to living a holy life in the will of God each and every day. We look at it that it's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords speaking to us every day. Every time we open this book, we come into His presence. I heard it said this week, pastor was asked, how are you so vibrant and your messages just seem to pierce people's hearts and people come and want to know the Lord? He said, every morning I take God's word, I place it on the floor, I get on my knees, I put my face in His Bible, and I say, Father, thank you for your living word. I pray, Lord, that you would enlighten it to me now as I read it, that I would receive from you this day what you are teaching me. Now, we don't have to be that dramatic, but how often do we just look at it as another book? Deuteronomy 6, 5 to 9. Love the Lord thy God with all your hearts, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Put these words in your heart. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you're sitting in your home. Talk about them when you go for a walk. Talk about them when you go to bed. Talk about them when you get up. You know, it even goes further and tells us to bind them to our hands so that our, in my mind, it's bind them to our hands so that our eyes will reflect on them all day. Write them on the doorposts and on your gates. This tells me that I need to be reminded often, or I'll forget. How many times it says, daily, as often as you get together. Joshua 1:8 tells us to meditate on this book day and night. Why? It says that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written within its pages. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart. Psalms 119:48, lift my hands to your commandments, which I love. Psalms 1:2, my delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law I will meditate day and night. Are we getting a picture here? How often are we to look to God's word? You know, to me it doesn't leave much room for me to do anything else. Colossians 3:1-3, set our minds, focus on the heavenly things where Christ is, not on earthly things that have no value. Grace shows us the law, and the law shows God's love for us. Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, 1 to 17, Deuteronomy 5, 6 to 21. The Lord spoke these words. The Lord God who brought us out of bondage. And really, He saved each of us. He's brought us out of our bondage. Amen. We've crossed the Red Sea. The Lord God who gave us commands to follow that we could live victorious in Him. These commands are for our protection, for the safety of our hearts and our minds. It was brought to my attention from a pastor that the last commandment, Exodus 20, 17, don't covet anything. Don't seek, want something that is not yours, is like an umbrella over all the other commandments. For if we can at that moment, when it's a thought, give it to the Lord to deal with, we might not proceed to commit the actual act. 2 Corinthians 10:5, bringing everything into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. When? Daily. There we go again. Daily. And follow me. Daily. What does that mean to me? Do I obey this instruction, or do I say I'm strong enough today? God will forgive me. I'm just not going to spend time with Him today. I don't need to put on His armor today. I'm just going to work. I'm not going far from the house. I'm just going for a walk today. And besides, you know, I'm too busy. God will understand. And in my mind, my list can go on and on why I have good reasons why I don't spend time in the Word. What I find in my life is that one day of not spending time has often led to another day. And before I know it, Sunday's here again. So an illustration was, you know, as far as Sunday goes, a lot of people, I think we come to church on Sunday, we expect to be fed. We go about our week, and we think we ate enough on Sunday, get us through till next Sunday. How many of us, though, can eat enough in one day to sustain us for not eating for seven? How many of us can breathe in enough oxygen in one day that we don't need to breathe again for a week? I think we need to realize that God's Word is that important to our life. And you know, when I've gone that whole week and Sunday's there again, some of those Sundays I struggle to get out of bed. I really don't even want to go to church. I feel the same kind of arguments begin to form. Ah. Nobody's going to miss me. I haven't even been in His Word. I got nothing to offer. I feel weak. You know, God's there. He knows right where I am. And remember, He gave me Lori. A good thing. Man, she's up at 6. She's dressed for church. She's encouraging me. She has a smile and excitement in her voice about the day. I don't like that lots of times, but God gave me Lori. And again, she has been a blessing. She's been something that I have needed to overcome those weaker days of my life. You know, sometimes it's a text from one of you guys that encourages me. Or even a phone call. Just thinking of you. How's your day going? How's your week been? It means a lot. See, through those things, God continues to show me His faithfulness to me. I don't really come across as a joyful person. Sorry. I'm trying to get better. Because the Scripture tells me that I should have the joy of the Lord in my life. And I was listening to Focus on the Family, and they had a gentleman on there who was born without arms. And I understand, all right, everyone can see he doesn't have arms. So in our minds, he's not normal. In our minds, he has a great handicap. So everywhere he goes, people stare at him. He said that even as a boy, one of the biggest things he remembers is him and his family, well, his family and him being asked to leave restaurants. Because he'd be eating with his feet. And people around could not handle that. Just think about that for a minute. Our society. The norm. But you know, a youth pastor, one of his friends asked this young man to come to church or youth group. And he did, and the youth pastor came over. He was sitting by himself. Well, I don't know about the humor of some of us Christians, but they invited this armless young man to come and play dodgeball. That was the evening of youth group. He says he was so sore he had to sit out the second half. But that youth pastor came. And he shared. You're not a mistake. You're wonderfully and beautifully formed in your mother's womb. He accepted Christ. He says it wasn't for about six, seven years. He just couldn't grasp what all that meant for him in his life. But one day, all of a sudden, he got it. God loves me so much. I'm not a mistake. I can be used of Him. And God began to show this young man, because of his acceptance of Jesus in his heart, and the acceptance that he wasn't a mistake, that he had joy. So the things of people staring at him didn't bother him. And he wanted to tell other people. So he's studying to be a pastor. So he does a lot of his gathering sermons and that at restaurants. And I'll just share this. He's in Starbucks this one day. And he can just feel people staring at him. He says, it's just common. I'm used to it. I know I'd look different. I got no arms. I'm eating my biscuit with my toes. It's not normal. This guy's sitting beside him. And he's just staring at him. And he's sitting there. He's got his headphones. He's not even really paying attention to him. He's reading God's word. And, you know, I can't, but in my mind, I just picture this happy guy. He's just happy on life. He's just reading God's word, and he's trying to absorb something to minister to people with. So the guy gets up, leaves, never said a word with him. Puts his cup on his table. He looks at it, just watching the guy leave, and he's, I got no arms. You expect me to put that in the garbage for you? But then he noticed that it was not quite normal, and so he was able to take the flap off, and the guy had written. He said, you touched my life today. The joy that flows from you touched my life. He didn't have to say anything. I'd like to have that joy. I know I couldn't influence people the way he does because I don't have that obvious handicap. But God is using that young man because he's willing to be used of God even in his circumstances. He's not letting his circumstances dictate to him. Am I allowing circumstances in my life to keep me from the joy of the Lord? Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Why? So we can stand against the tricks of the devil. So we can safeguard our minds. 13, take unto you the whole armor so we can stand in the evil days. 17, sword of the Spirit, the word of God, our weapon. The word of God. Is it in our heart? 18, our next weapon is prayer, praying always. And we are to be watching for all saints. We are to be praying for one another. Ephesians 4:29, we're instructed to watch our mouth. That only good things should come out of our mouth. Sometimes I wonder if I'd have anything to say. 31. Evil speaking is to be put away. This is meant not only that we do this Sunday mornings, but everywhere we are, in our homes, in our cars, when that guy cuts us off. Whoa, if I get my hands on. Do I have a right attitude? In our workplace, are we living an example of Christ in our workplace? Do we hold our tongue? Or do we swear back at that guy that just swore at us? everywhere I take my mouth. I am not to be speaking evil. How can I live like this? I cannot live like this without Christ. I cannot live like this without putting Christ first in my life. And I cannot live like this without spending time in His Word. And I cannot live like this if I don't have a prayer life. So what do I have to do? I have to make that choice every day to put Christ on. And then be aware of that, and I'm taking Christ with me everywhere I go. And I want to include Christ in all my thoughts. I want to include Christ in all my decisions. What confidence does this give me, give us? Philippians 2:13. Anybody got it? You guys just... Am I going to beat you? You guys must have had a rough day yesterday. You're all beat up. Philippians 2:13. 13. For it is God which worketh in me, both to will and to do His good pleasure. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words, that's this book, abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Psalms 84:11, no good thing does He withhold from those who walk is blameless. And blameless means free of blame, free of guilt, without fault, innocent. So Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalms 91:9, because I have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, my dwelling place. Verse 10 says, no evil shall befall. Befall means come to pass or happen. No plague, no highly infectious, fatal, epidemic disease. How fitting is that for today? Or pestilence shall come nigh my house. This is in God's Word. So what is the confidence that this gives me?
Verse 11, he shall give his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. Verse 12, they shall hold me, support me in their hands, even if I stub my toe. They're holding me. Because of this, in 13, I will not fear lions, snakes, or even dragons. I will be able to trample them under my feet. I don't know anything worse than lions, snakes, and dragons. I mean, spiders, apparently. Yeah, those are pretty big. Pretty big, those spiders. Not making fun of that at all, but compared to a lion, yeah, no. Verse 14, he hath set his love upon me. He hath known my name. Wow. The God of the universe knows my name. He knows your name, Silas. Let us remember God is perfect in all his ways. He created me and he created you. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what we needed, a Savior. He has provided us with his holy word, a map, an instruction booklet to help us work out our salvation, a book of promises that he is faithful to keep. I can promise my wife or my kids a lot of things, and I have failed them. But you know, our Heavenly Father cannot fail. A book of promises that he is faithful to keep. A guide to living holy and righteous before him. A book of rules. And I think sometimes we struggle with that because none of us like rules too much. We don't like those guidelines, speed limits 100. I can go 115, I think I can get away with that. A book of rules for us to be able to walk in his will for our lives. We are to encourage each other in the ways of the Lord. And praise God, he's not finished with me. I am his workmanship. Will I surrender my whole life and my will to him today and each day? So I'd like us all to stand. And I'd like us to remember that video and how quick that they can just pull all those threads. You couldn't really see it in that video, but it's pulling from all these threads at a speed that we can't even imagine. And it's putting them all together and it's forming something. It's kind of what God's doing in our lives. He's taking this, the other thing. He's pouring it all into us at speed that we can't comprehend or keep up to a lot of times. And honestly, I'm 63. I don't feel that I'm very old yet. I don't feel there's not much I can't do. I thank the Lord for his health that he's given me, the strength that he continues to give me. But it's all for a purpose that is to please him. So if you just put your hand over your heart, can you feel it beating? Imagine with me that each beat is the word quick, quick, quick. And remember Job 7:6, my days are swiftly coming to an end. We may only have a few brief years at most. Let us choose to live each day centered around Christ, seeking His will for today, tomorrow, and for each day that He gives us. Because let us remember, Jesus has our death date. And my moment could be the next breath. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. Let us choose to live each day centered around Christ, seeking His will for today, tomorrow, and each day that He gives us. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Father, we want to thank You for Your word. Your word is true. Your word is faithful. Your word is just. We thank You for Your instruction in it, for Your rules, Lord, that are safeguards. They are to protect us from evil. Thank You for Your promises in this word. Thank You for the joy in Your word, Lord. Help us, Lord, to look to You. Help us to give You the best and first part of our day, Lord. That we could grow in You, we could be strengthened by You, that we could meet the day with confidence. You are our everything. We thank You, Jesus, for our salvation. That we can glory in You. That we are looking forward to spending eternity with You, Father. Help us to set our eyes and focus on heavenly things that are eternal forever and not on the things around us that are going to grow old and die. So we thank You for Your word today, Lord. We ask that You would help us to just remember to take the time to be in Your presence, seeking Your will for our lives. Each and every day. We ask You go before us now, Lord. Father, You know our tomorrows. Help us to have confidence in what You are asking us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you have another song?